Bending Light, Chapter 19.
Hey, mate.
Blaze put his hand out and Draco took it in a one-handed shake as he walked onto the patio at the villa. He put his helmet down and dropped into a chair.
Lavender still here?
He looked around as he leaned back and put his feet up on the table in front of him.
No, she had a shift and left about 20 minutes ago. Just you and me. You want lunch?
Blaze sounded as if he were half asleep.
No, I grabbed something before I rode out here. Good, because I'm not hungry. Huge breakfast.
Blaze yawned so widely that his jaw cracked. He looked over at Draco.
Want to swim or anything? No, it's okay. I just needed a ride.
Draco realised his foot was jiggling when he saw Blaze watching it and stilled himself.
Not as many places to go now, after talking to Lupin. Yeah, and I still think you're unprotected a bit on the way here. Only for a few miles.
They went silent for a while, Draco trying desperately to let the peace of the setting calm him. It was hushed and quiet, except for the lapping of the water and the drone of a Muggle grass-cutting machine in the far distance.
Hey, speaking of Lupin, how did your talk go with him? He seemed a bit preoccupied when he came out here yesterday. Okay, I guess. He didn't say no outright.
Blaze made a disgruntled sound.
I still think it's too dangerous. I know. What happens next, then?
Blaze asked after a long pause.
He's got to run it by several people, and my parents. None of this works if Lucius isn't on board. Your mum is going to hate it.
Draco crossed his arms.
I know. I'm counting on my father to sway her. I don't think it can be done.
Blaze skewered Draco with a look. Draco glanced away.
We could always do it without her. That's not on, and you know it.
Blaze shook his head.
I think she'll do it if it'll give a full pardon and take some other measures to exonerate us. I have a few things in mind. Lucius probably will too. Well, I still hope they say no.
Blaze faced back towards the sun.
I'd rather not lose you.
Draco was silent. The buzzing in the distance cut off abruptly, and a bird cried out overhead. After a few minutes, Blaze heaved a sigh.
Have you decided if you're coming tonight?
Draco sat up, grateful for the subject change.
No. Lav really wants you to be there. I'm supposed to make sure you are.
Draco breathed in and out through his nose.
Do you want to talk about it?
Blaze rolled his head sideways and raised his brows.
There's not much to say. I know there was quite a time discrepancy between when you apparated and when Lav says Hermione came home.
Draco cut his eyes to Blaze, then looked away.
I don't want the bloody details,
Blaze exclaimed.
I just want to know if you're okay. It was very obvious yesterday that something went sideways. Even Potter was looking at you two.
Draco frowned. Potter? What a bloody time for him to show up. He thought back to yesterday when he'd stood at the window of the Ministry flat, watching Hermione walk away with the git, arm in arm, her head on his shoulder. What were they to each other exactly? Draco hated the jealousy that had surged through him then and was renewing now.
I just lost control, he bit out. The one thing I didn't want to do. Did you?
Blaze's eyes were wide.
No, no.
But almost. He'd wanted to, so badly. To feel her, be felt by her. He wanted her now, was desperate to be curled up against her, talking, kissing, more. A series of vivid images slipped through his mind. Her lips, her dark eyes. And Draco looked down, his angry energy dissipating into a kind of despair.
So you stopped it, said something, she did not look happy yesterday.
Draco felt a dull wash of red flow up over his neck. He felt terrible for making her feel that way.
I told her my reasoning. Yes.
Blaze barked out a short laugh.
Lovely. And I'm sure she just tapped her chin, said make sense, and moved on.
Draco shot him a filthy look. Blaze straightened up and removed his glasses.
Look, I know you're scared. We all are. And?
Blaze held up a hand as Draco opened his mouth to interrupt.
I know that you probably face more dire consequences than anyone, but say Potter himself, if they found you. But this is our life, Draco. This is it. And it could be bloody cut short at any moment. Is more than likely to be cut short, since we're in the middle of this shitshow of a war, and you insist on volunteering to take incredible risks. And if you end it rotting in some Death Eater prison, or being tortured to death by a Crucio, wouldn't it be nice to have some really good memories to take with you?
Draco just stared at Blaze, as a long silence stretched around them. Finally, Blaze broke it, putting his sunglasses back on and looking out over the pool.
Think about it,
he said, pointing at Draco. He leaned back in his chair and closed his eyes again.
And come to the bloody party tonight.
Do you think we have enough booze? Lavender was frowning into the fridge as she surveyed its contents.
I should bloody hope so.
Harry laughed from where he was sitting on one of the kitchen counters. Lavender rolled her eyes. You obviously haven't done much partying with Slytherins.
No, I have not,
Harry said with a flick of his brows. She's right. Hermione came in from the flat's small terrace, where she had been wiping down furniture. It's a whole different level. Plus the waiters and some of their friends will be here. She went back to stand next to Lavender and inventoried their supplies. 4 packs of beer, 6 bottles of wine, vodka, rum, and a whole lot of soft drinks. 1 gigantic lasagna and an equally large birthday cake. A lot of crisps. And people will bring things too. I'd say we're set.
Hand me one of those beers, will you?
Harry reached out a hand and Hermione placed a cold bottle in it.
Who are these waiters again?
He asked as he took a long drink. Just some Muggle friends from town.
I dated one briefly, and one of them has a crush on Hermione, although I think he's figured out that...
Lavender glanced briefly at Hermione and snapped her mouth closed.
Just remember, no magic tonight,
she finished, giving Harry a severe look.
I'll remember, I promise. It's the least I can do after you two put all this together. Thanks very much.
Harry slid off the counter and inclined his head at them. Hermione crossed the room and gave him a quick hug.
You're very welcome. Hopefully it will excuse the fact that I don't have a gift for you.
This is gift enough. As you know, I don't expect much on my birthdays.
He grimaced, and Hermione sent a silent curse out to the child abusers he spent his first 11 years with.
All right! Lavender clapped her hands. The house is ready. The food and drink are all ready. Time to get ourselves ready.
She grabbed Hermione's hand.
We'll be back in a few,
she said to Harry, as she towed Hermione to their bedrooms. He waved them off and headed towards the terrace.
What are you wearing? Hermione asked as they passed into Lavender's room. I was thinking jeans and maybe my cropped black vest top? Hair up?
Lavender fixed her with a look.
No. You're wearing that little blue satin dress you bought in Aquino. The one you've never worn? With the combat boots and, yes, I think hair up.
Lavender squinted at Hermione, then nodded decisively.
But that dress is...
Hermione spluttered. The garment in question was very... attention-grabbing.
Why did you buy it if you weren't going to wear it?
Lavender sing-songed,
crossing the hall and going into Hermione's room. She came back with the dress, its deep blue silky fabric shimmering in her hands. A short A-line shape, with thin straps and chinoiserie pattern. Hermione had felt transformed when she had put it on at the shop. Beautiful. Sexy and older somehow. And of course Lavender had insisted that she buy it. Hermione took the hanger and held it up against her body.
Maybe with my white baby tee underneath it?
No! Lavender crossed her arms.
Your skin is so tan and amazing right now. It would be a crime to cover it up. Come on, stop being silly.
She practically pushed Hermione across the hall.
Go put it on. And no bra.
Wow, what's going on in there?
Harry's faint voice floated from the terrace.
Sorry, forgot you were here,
Lavender called, shutting her bedroom door in Hermione's face. Hermione closed her own door, stripped to her knickers, removed her bra with a soft laugh, then slipped the dress over her body. It fell into place perfectly, the fine material sliding against her bare skin delicately. She went to her small mirror and twisted back and forth. Yes, it fit as well as she remembered, nipping in at just the right places and hitting her legs at a very flattering spot. She remembered the half-formed thought that it had flitted through her mind when she'd bought it, just after the first party at the boys' flat, before Draco had withdrawn. Would he like it? Would he think she looked pretty? She shook her head to clear it. She was fairly certain he'd like it. She had proof enough of that.
That lot of good that would do me, though, she said,
catching her hair up at the top of her head and pinning it into a bun. She pulled a few curls down around her face, frowned at her reflection, then walked back out into the hallway.
You really think the boots?
She asked Lavender, who was now doing her makeup at the mirror in the loo, clad in a yellow gingham romper and sky-high platforms.
Absolutely. Keeps it from being too much.
Lavender dabbed something on her eyelids and blinked at Hermione in the mirror.
Cute hair. You need a choker, I think. I have that black velvet one.
Okay, Hermione sighed, suddenly sad. What was all this for? She slumped down on the side of the bath and put her head in her hands.
Oh, sweetie.
Lavender was instantly there, kneeling on her enormous shoes and pushing the door closed.
We didn't even talk about what happened, with all the excitement and Harry here. How are you doing?
Not great. Do you know if he's coming?
Blaise put the screws to him. I think he is.
Hermione took a deep, shuddering breath and felt tears stand in her eyes. Lavender's fingers went to her shoulder.
Oh, what happened?
Her eyes widened on Hermione's.
My gods, did you know?
Hermione whispered.
But I think we might have if we hadn't been interrupted.
Lavender kicked her feet out and sat on the floor. She grabbed Hermione's hand.
Shit, I didn't realise it had gone that far. What the fuck happened? Did he get cold feet? The stupidest thing.
Hermione lifted her face and rubbed her finger under her eyelid to catch her tears.
There was a sound. It was just like apparition, and seemed like it was in the shop.
It freaked us both out. I thought they had followed us or something. Found us.
But it was just a bloody car. A car engine backfiring. It sounds exactly the same.
And that was it. He wouldn't come back after that.
No. He was too spooked and he said...
Hermione's voice broke.
That he couldn't do this because of the danger it put me in. And I told him I didn't care, that I wasn't just his choice.
But he wouldn't budge, Lavender. He just wouldn't. Won't. Hermione pitched forward and Lavender's arms went around her, while her voice murmured soothing words. Hermione let herself sink into the comfort, clinging back until her tears slowed and Lavender pulled away, still rubbing Hermione's back and looking into her face with concern.
"Well, that's just bloody idiotic, isn't it?" she said after a bit. "Boys, as if they think they're stronger than us."
Hermione choked out a laugh, very much in spite of herself.
"Well," Lavender rocked back on her heels, "I think you and this dress and this night may have a little more to say about that. It ain't over till it's over, as the Americans say, and I think you should definitely talk to him again. Let's just see him try to resist you."
"I don't know." Hermione took a deep breath in and patted her hair. She truly didn't know if she could take another rejection. "Am I totally wrecked?"
"Not in the least."
Lavender stood and held out her hand.
"I have a quick anti-redness spell for the eyes. I learned it last year after Ron."
She grimaced as she reopened the door and turned back to peer at Hermione.
"And then we'll do your makeup. You will look so gorgeous. Gods help any man who tries to stay away. Especially that one. He's got him already. He just needs to accept it."
Hermione breathed out a small laugh.
"Thank you. What would I do without you?" "I have no idea," Lavender said crisply. "Your shoe choices would be all wrong for one thing."
Hermione really laughed at this and lurched forward to throw her arms around Lavender's fragrant person.
"My friend," she said, and Lavender squeezed her tightly.
"Hey, she's not your only friend."
Hermione looked up to see Harry lounging in the doorway, a faint smile on his face as he took in the scene.
"And not your only friend who thinks Malfoy would be a total mental case to pass you up, especially in that dress."
Harry's eyes moved over her, and he let out a low whistle.
"Damn."
He lifted his brows and inclined his head.
"Right," said Lavender, turning to Hermione and moving her in front of the mirror. "Now, open your eyes wide and look up."
Draco trudged up the stairs to the girl's flat, a bottle of wine under his arm. He debated for a good 2 hours before he'd finally found himself throwing on his jacket and walking out the door. He didn't really know what had swayed his decision, but deep down he thought it had probably come down to the fact that he couldn't quite stay away. As he approached the door, he heard music and voices. He'd sent the cassette player with Theo earlier, and he hesitated the slightest bit before putting his hand up to knock. Was this really wise?
"Absolutely not," he thought as he rapped 3 times.
The door swung open, and Draco found himself staring at Potter's profile as he laughed at something behind him. Potter turned around, his face changing as he saw he was standing in the doorway.
"Malfoy?"
Potter nodded and stepped aside, his eyes intent on Draco's. As always, Potter's expression was an open book, and Draco understood immediately that Hermione had told him.
"Likely everything."
He felt his face heat as he stepped into the room.
"Potter, happy birthday."
Draco held out the wine and Potter took it, his face slipping into almost comical surprise.
"Thanks."
He looked at the wine and then back at Draco. Luckily, Lavender showed up at that moment.
"Draco, you made it!"
She stepped around Potter and kissed Draco's cheek.
"Come on, Blaze is in the kitchen. Harry, do you want me to take that?"
She held out her hand for the wine.
"Yeah, Malfoy bought it."
Harry again looked at Draco, sort of wonderingly, like he was surprised that Draco could make a nice gesture. Draco raised a brow at him, and strangely Potter's cheeks reddened.
"I'll just be on the terrace," he mumbled, slipping away.
Draco followed the bright stream of Lavender's chatter
as they made their way towards the kitchen. He looked around, realizing he'd never been inside this flat, which seemed odd. Hermione had been right. It was much warmer than his and Theo's. All low ceilings, soft furnishings and deep yellow paint. And right now it was quite crowded. A lot of waiters from town had showed up and seemed to have brought their friends. The bright chatter and laughter emanating from different little groups on sofas or gathering in doorways felt foreign to Draco somehow. He walked through the scene as if removed from it, catching snippets of conversation and bits of the music coming from his cassette player, but not really absorbing any of it. Why was he so out of it? Maybe it was the heavy thoughts the end of summer was bringing, or maybe it was his conversation with Lupin. Right. Sure. He laughed silently at himself. He knew why. He'd been looking for her from almost the moment he came in. Where was she? He scanned the various groups and discreetly looked over his shoulder, but didn't see her. The party was well advanced. Maybe she was being chatted up. Maybe she was away with someone. Where the bloody hell was Theo? Draco's head whipped more sharply around as Lavender pulled him to the kitchen. Ah, there was Theo. Draco's shoulders relaxed, and there was Blaze, too. Draco moved gratefully over to his friend, who put out his hand and slapped Draco on the back.
Mate, glad you made it. Something to drink?
Draco nodded his assent and answered Lavender's query as to what he was having. He leaned against the sink as she made him a gin, then accepted it and drank deeply.
Good. It was strong.
Blaze and Theo were arguing about something. Muggle cars, it seemed. Blaze was making fun of Theo's again, and Theo was telling him off. The conversation seemed to float around Draco in a kind of haze. He drank again, realizing he'd nearly drained the whole thing. Suddenly, Lavender was in front of him.
How are you? She said softly. I haven't spoken to you in a few days.
Draco looked down into her face, and although she wasn't as obvious as Potter, he still read what was there. Concern for him, yes, but also curiosity and a great need to give him some advice. He really didn't want it. In many ways, he knew exactly what kind of idiot he was being.
Fine. Yeah, he nodded once. And you? This was a nice thing to put together for Potter.
Right.
Lavender turned and leaned next to him against the sink.
These Muggle-borns and half-bloods, I don't think they realise quite how important it is to come of age in the wizarding world.
Her lips lifted in a half-smile as she sipped her drink. I had to mark it out somehow. Draco snorted and nodded. His sad excuse for a 17th birthday had been in a safe house, the day before he'd been dropped here. At least Potter would have something to remember, even if it was a bit of an odd circumstance. A silence stretched as Draco finished his drink and contemplated how long it would be before Hermione made an appearance, and completely wrecked the fragile equilibrium he was barely holding on to.
So what are your plans?
Lavender's bright eyes met Draco's again.
For after all this?
He lifted his brows at her. He was fairly sure she knew his plans had been the subject of his talk with Lupin yesterday.
In the works.
Lavender's eyes narrowed.
Off to do something noble, then, she said with a flick of her hair over her shoulder. Interesting the risks we pick and choose for ourselves.
Her eyes flashed as she grabbed his glass out of his hand.
I'll just refresh that for you.
She pushed away and Draco stared at her back, a little open-mouthed. He'd seen real anger in her eyes just now, a reminder of how royally he'd fucked up. He tipped his head back with a little sigh and crossed his arms over his chest.
You can keep your bloody Ferraris.
Theo's voice rang out over Blaze's laughter.
Me and the rest of the world. You're delusional, Theo.
Blaze was shaking his head, and Draco was turning to join their extremely ridiculous conversation. Honestly, how muggle had they all become this summer? When the door to the kitchen burst open.
Love, we're out of crisps, and Matteo just showed up with an enormous box of leftovers from the pizzeria, and I can't find any platters.
Hermione's bright voice cut off as she saw Draco standing there. Lavender's eyes swung between them, and she quickly cut in, saying something about spares in the pantry, or other bits of wood and rubbish that Draco couldn't make out over the buzzing in his ears. It was good that someone was talking, because he certainly couldn't. He was robbed of speech. He'd long thought that Hermione was attractive, and over the summer he'd grown to think her wildly beautiful, as well as alluring and sweet. He'd catalogued things such as the indent above her lip and the sharp angle of her jawbone where it met her neck, the precise tone of her skin against certain colours and textures of fabric, the slightly crooked incisor that showed when she really laughed, and the brightness of her eyes when she looked at him with amusement. It had all coalesced to form the person that he realised he wanted most, craved the most. So it was amazing that it was even possible for him to still be struck dumb by her, as he was now, eyes roving over the deep blue satin skimming her body, up to the graceful planes of her clavicles, and down to the endless length of her legs. He flashed suddenly on a memory from the other night, when she'd slid those legs around his hips and pulled him against her, sighed his name into his ear. He thought all of this in the time it took to suck in a sharp breath, see her lips part and watch her hand tighten on the doorframe. But then she said something to Lavender, whirled and was gone. Here. Lavender shoved something in his hand with an arch look. His glass. He looked down at it and then up. Lavender walked out of the kitchen and Blaze followed her. Draco was still staring at the place where Hermione had been, when he became aware of Theo's voice coming from somewhere on his left.
Some dress, huh?
Theo raised his brows and shook his head once.
Smoke?
He pulled a packet of cigarettes out of his pocket and offered it.
God, yes.
Draco didn't even try to hide for once, and Theo snorted a short laugh.
Come on, let's go to the patio.
A few minutes later, they were ensconced in a corner of the small terrace, which looked out over the winding street. A few of the muggles from town were in the other corner, but had mostly subsided into their own loud conversation.
Very different view than ours,
Theo said, leaning over the low ledge and inhaling deeply. Draco blew out a cloud of smoke.
Yeah, I'm surprised this is the first time I've been here.
Me too.
Theo smirked out at the street, and Draco read the subtext in his words loud and clear.
Going to give me a lecture as well?
He asked, leaning a shoulder against the wall. He could see Hermione inside, moving through the living room. Gods, but she was breathtaking, the tendrils of curls just brushing her neck.
Absolutely not, Theo said, turning to lean his back against the ledge. At this point, if you're willing to pass on...
He nodded towards the living room.
All that... And remember, I know at least some of what you're giving up.
His eyes flicked to Draco, who felt his blood run suddenly hot.
Then be my guest. I'll be the one at Hogwarts with her come September. Or him.
He waved his cigarette at Potter, and they both watched as Hermione dropped down beside him on the sofa.
Or Weasley, or some other bloke who's not too much of a coward to return all that fire and beauty.
Draco's hand balled into a fist, and he felt his face grow very tight. Theo looked up at him and raised a brow.
Now, now. No fisticuffs at our new mate's birthday, do?
He stubbed his cigarette out.
You can't or won't have her, so nobody else can. She has to, what, stay wrapped up in cotton wool until such a time as you see fit, or you die. Don't be an arse.
He levelled a very flat look at Draco and pushed past him off the patio. Draco stared after him, stunned for maybe the fourth time that night. He was breathing heavily, as if he had just climbed a flight of stairs. He shook his head, eyes caught by the scene in the living room, which played out like a film. Hermione tucked her legs up under her and leaned into Potter, resting her head on his shoulder. Potter touched his head to hers and put his arm around her, pulling her to him and saying something that made a soft smile cross her features. His hand went up to her hair and he stroked gently. Draco turned suddenly and put his back to the vision, asking the other group if they had a spare cigarette. They tossed him one and he leaned over for a light, then moved back to his corner and inhaled fiercely, not daring to turn back around. Was this going to be his life now? Wondering and speculating. He suddenly saw himself, a few months in the future, back at the manor, dark and grim, toadying to some pathetic Death Eater and wondering if this was the day that Theo, or Potter, or some other bloke who wasn't too much of a coward, won her. Fuck. He flicked his ash angrily into the street below and glanced over his shoulder. Potter and Hermione were gone. To where? To do what? Before Draco knew it, he was moving back inside. Hermione whirled against Maurizio with a sharp laugh. Someone had bought a cassette of an old Italian song and put it in the player, much to the delight of the Italian guests, who were now whooping their way through a lively round of the tarantella in a corner of the sitting room. Maurizio was trying to teach Hermione the dance, but she was failing miserably, her heavy boots not suited to the light-footed steps. I can't, she gasped in Italian, holding her sides and stepping out of the group.
But you were doing so well, he said,
keeping hold of her hand.
Okay, we'll do a different dance, he said as he pulled her closer,
swaying her from side to side at a much slower tempo. Hermione pulled back and gave him a raised brow. She had a bit too much to drink tonight, but not so much that she wasn't up to his tricks.
What?
His smile was bright.
You can't blame me for trying, especially when you look so beautiful.
He actually kissed his fingers to her, and Hermione laughed. But the sound died on her lips as they turned in the dance, and she saw Draco watching her from across the room. He was leaning against the far wall, ostensibly talking to Blaze and Lavender, but his eyes were on her, his expression inscrutable. I think I need to sit down, she said, looking away to the patio, where she saw Harry chatting animatedly with Matteo, one of the waiters whose English was very good. As she watched, Matteo placed his fingers on Harry's arm and leaned in to whisper something in his ear. Something that made Harry laugh and brace his own hand on Matteo's knee. Matteo fell closer, and they both pulled back, laughing hard. Harry caught her eye at that moment and shot her a little smile. Hermione smiled back, just as Matteo got up and beckoned Harry inside. "Just going to get some air," Hermione said to Maurizio, who was also watching Harry and Matteo.
"Okay."
He gave her an enigmatic look.
"I'll go see what Casanova is doing with your friend."
"I don't think Harry minds," Hermione murmured. Maurizio nodded, thoughtfully letting her go, giving her a wink and a gallant little bow before he turned towards the kitchen. Hermione glanced over to where Draco had been as she made her way to the patio, but he wasn't there anymore. She hated the deflated feeling that came over her as she noticed this. Since he had arrived, the whole party had been a series of nerve-wracking shifts between excitement and dread. He hadn't even tried to talk to her.
She made an angry noise and pushed through the door to the soft night air.
That bad, eh?
Theo's languid tones came from the corner of the little space.
Oh, hello.
Hermione attempted a smile.
Are you, having a nice time?
She dropped into the spindly chair next to him.
Fine, fine, Theo said, blowing a long stream of smoke away towards the open side of the patio.
Hermione watched him, his beautiful profile outlined by the yellow of the streetlight across the way. Why couldn't she have just gone for him? The thought sprang to the front of her mind with a hint of ferocity. Why couldn't she have just chosen the light summer fling that would have satisfied her body without wrecking her heart? But then Theo turned to her, and something about the look in his eyes told her it wouldn't have been quite that easy.
"Can I have one of those?" she asked abruptly. His expression lightened, and he looked down at the cigarette in his hand, then back up at her.
"Are you sure?"
"Yeah, I want to try it." He shrugged and slid the pack out of his shirt pocket.
"Okay, but I have to warn you that the first time is reported to be almost uniformly disgusting."
A hint of his dimple appeared in his cheek.
"Some people even..."
He mimicked, throwing up.
"Why on earth do it then?" Hermione took a slender white cylinder from him, and their fingers brushed just slightly. His eyes went back to hers.
"It's a compulsion,"
he said with another shrug.
"Addictive."
He flashed a smile that wasn't a smile at all, then fished around in his pocket and withdrew a silver lighter, which he flicked open, then wicked to life.
"Okay, what you do is inhale when the flame touches the end, to catch it. You see?"
Hermione nodded, placing her lips gingerly around the end of the cigarette, the chemical taste of it strange in her mouth. She leaned forwards towards the flame and puffed. Theo chuckled.
"It's more of an indraw breath than a steam train, Hermione."
Hermione cut her eyes to him and inhaled, the smoke careening down to her lungs and starting an immediate coughing fit. The taste was outrageously bad, and tears sprang to her eyes as she sputtered.
"Oh, no."
He was laughing lightly again, but he also leaned forward and plucked a Pellegrino out of the bucket at their feet, uncapped it and handed it to her.
"Here, drink."
She took the water gratefully and sipped, the bubbles easing her throat, although the foul taste of the burnt tobacco lingered in her mouth.
"I ask again," she gasped. "Why on earth do people do that regularly? And how do you make it look so elegant?"
"You get the hang of it rather quickly," Theo said ruefully. "And I suspect I look elegant doing most things."
Hermione swatted him, and he really laughed, his eyes crinkling. She sat back and regarded the burning cigarette in her hand, feeling rather grown up holding it. She brought it to her lips and puffed again, gently and barely inhaling.
"There you go," Theo said. "I have a friend who only ever holds it lit. She still makes it look dashing without all the bad bits."
His face looked on a distant look, and Hermione had a sudden suspicion that he was talking about Daphne Greengrass.
"A bloody waste of a cigarette, if you ask me."
He shook his head and refocused, leaning forward and looking to the side, where his eye obviously caught on something in the room behind him. Hermione naturally turned too, glancing over her shoulder to see Draco sitting on the sofa next to Blaise, but obviously watching her with Theo. Grey eyes shifted to the lit cigarette in her hand, and his brows went up the slightest bit. Hermione felt a hot wave of anger break over her, and she whipped back around.
"Honestly? Where is Francesca tonight?" she asked Theo,
determined to ignore Draco.
Or are you...
He sat back in his chair, also looking away from the scene behind her.
No, no, she's lovely. Had a thing with her family tonight. I'll go to hers later.
Hermione nodded, realising her cigarette was burnt down to the nub. Theo held out an ashtray and she pressed it into the bottom, feeling very strange.
Guess I've tried it now, she smiled at him. Thanks.
Happy to assist with all vices and bad habits.
He inclined his head and Hermione laughed.
Have I told you lately how much I like you? She said impulsively, leaning forward and touching him on the back of the palm.
Not nearly enough, no.
The corner of his mouth lifted, but Hermione saw that gravity in his eyes again, so she was glad when Lavender suddenly popped her head through the door.
Oh, we've run out of booze, she said.
Really? Hermione's shock was extreme.
Do you want me to run to the market?
Theo asked, shifting up in his chair.
It's shut by now.
Lavender flipped her hair over her shoulder.
And frankly, I'm ready to get everyone out of here. I think I'll suggest we all go to the disco.
Ah, good plan.
Theo nodded.
Hermione murmured her assent and looked discreetly behind Lavender into their sitting room. Draco wasn't on the couch anymore. Had he already left? The thought re-sparked her frustration and she tapped her foot restlessly, emotions running riot through her, less controlled thanks to the several drinks she'd had tonight. She knew Draco wasn't a huge fan of the disco, and to be honest, she'd probably rather crawl into bed herself than go out. But could he not just disappear for once? Her train of thought was interrupted as she caught a glimpse of inky black hair and a glint of glasses near the door to the kitchen.
Ah, at least it would be fun to show Harry their local.
But just then Mateo tipped into her frame of vision, right next to Harry and laughing again, his hand going lightly to Harry's hip as he leaned towards him and said something with a smile. Well, maybe Harry didn't need her to show him anything. Looked like he'd have a good time no matter what. She wondered if he'd need their sofa to kip on after all. Shaking her head once, Hermione focused back in on Lavender and Theo, who were discussing logistics.
All right, I'm going to make an announcement, Lavender said as she ducked back into the room. Will you turn off the music, Theo?
Yeah.
Theo stood and held his hand out to Hermione. She let him lead her back through the patio door, keeping her hand lightly in his. Of course, she then saw Draco coming up the hallway and lean in the doorframe, his tall figure striking as always. Hermione dropped Theo's hand, but not before Draco saw them. She sighed inwardly. What did it matter anyway?
Theo left her with a quick smile and went across the room to the cassette player, which he turned off as Lavender leapt up on a low table and shouted, "Oi!" to the room at large. A conversation stopped and people drifted in from over the flat to look up at her expectantly. Her announcement that the drink was all gone brought boos and whistles, but her subsequent suggestion that they all go to the disco brought a round of excited cheers. The waiters, led by Maurizio, gathered their friends, shouting that they would see everyone there. Harry, with a quick smile and wave at Hermione, let Mateo drag him with them. She waved back and winked as he disappeared out of the door. Suddenly the flat was fairly silent, only the magical San Cipriano group arranged around the room.
Right, Lavender jumped down. No one clean up anything. Let's all just go.
Okay, babe.
Blaze stepped forward and steadied her as she wobbled on her tall shoes. Hermione, who had already stacked several glasses, ducked into the kitchen to place them in the sink. She returned as Theo spoke up.
The car is just down the way, he said. Shall we all pack in, or will you ride your bike?
He turned to where Draco had been in the doorway. But Draco was gone.
Did he apparate silently or something?
Theo said, tilting his head in a puzzled manner at the place where Draco had been standing.
Hermione's irritation flared again. He was just bloody leaving. Not even a word of goodbye.
She craned her neck to look down the hallway and saw a flash of white blonde as Draco ducked into Lavender's bedroom.
He was. He was just going to fucking apparate away without a word.
Well, fuck that.
Hermione's feet were striding off before she knew what was happening. She vaguely heard Lavender's voice call something about catching up later, but she didn't regard it. She was focused.
You're just buggering off.
She stopped in the doorway, her words coming out harsh and accusing. Draco turned as if surprised to see her. He faced her slowly, but didn't quite meet her eyes.
I'm not keen to go to the disco, no.
His voice was tense and quiet. Hermione had absent-mindedly picked up one of Lavender's many bottles of creams and perfumes, and now slammed it back down on the dresser.
Don't you think that's rude, to just leave?
She knew she was being ridiculous, but she didn't care. Colour flashed over Draco's face, flushing his pale cheeks.
What? It's not like you lack for attention tonight. I'm sure Theo or Maurizio or even Potter will be happy to continue entertaining you.
He took a step towards her, and Hermione saw a muscle ripple in his jaw. She took in a swift breath and stepped towards him.
How dare he? Oh, please, she sputtered, saying the first thing that came to her mind. Harry's trying to hook up with Mateo.
Draco's brows went up for one surprised second, but then his face settled back to remote lines and he moved back.
Well, whatever. Theo, then. Have a good time, he said,
and apparated on the spot. Hermione stood there for a shocked second, her breath coming fast and the words, how dare he, running through her mind again. Suddenly she shouted over her shoulder for the rest of them to go without her, waiting only for Lavender's distant, okay, to float back down the hall before she took a deep breath and apparated as well.